Okay, so moving on to our next part of the day, we're going to start talking about websites. And in fact, now we're actually going to take what James covered. We're going to do a little bit further deep dive. Before we do that, before I do any further introductions, I do want to make a call out to some of the community experts that are here with us helping us out. We have Marius Koje over there. We have Bruce Johnson in the back on the online chat. And of course, online with you guys, we have Tyler GD is on the chat, Tyler Dirksen from Winnipeg, and who else did I, oh, and Canadian James is on the chat as well, who is also from Manitoba. So thanks to all you guys on the chat. We're actually having a great and very active online chat, so it's great to see that. On the stage, we have none other than Mr. Corey Fowler, which is actually great to have him back. I don't know if you guys know this, but he's actually, though technically right now, I could say he's from Redmond, but he's actually a native Canadian. So I will introduce you as Canadian Corey Fowler. It was actually, interestingly enough, one of Canada's first Windows Azure MVPs. Interestingly enough, now has moved to the mothership, and that's fine, but he is gracious enough to come and talk to us about Windows Azure. So with that, Corey, all yours.
Thank you. Jonathan, thanks so much for the amazing introduction. As Jonathan mentioned, my name is Corey Fowler. I am from Toronto originally. About 2 months ago, I made the journey down to Redmond. But it's great to be back and see a lot of familiar faces. And hopefully, my journeys will bring me back here again to keep addressing you as an audience in the future. James covered a lot about Windows Azure websites in the introduction kind of keynote. I'm going to go into a little bit more of a deep dive. Although some of the demos may match up a little bit, I will take them to a next step, introducing a little bit more functionality or something along those sorts. So just to bring websites into a little bit of perspective, we basically have folded out a rather large cloud offering to date. And we just want to take a step back for a second and think about what we have today. So sitting in your enterprise today, we basically have a whole big stack of servers just waiting to have things to provisioned on them. And you basically have IT pro counterparts. Are there any IT pros in the room? 100% dev? There's one DevOps kind of unsure. So your IT pro counterparts are managing this entire stack, except for the top two, the data and the application. So a lot of this is hands-off for you. Which is great because, you know, you don't have to worry about it, and that's what some of the features of Windows Azure are trying to do for you today. But to be able to offload some of these other things, like the hardware, needing to manage, the virtualization, some of the operating systems features, we're introducing things like the virtual machines, which is taking away the hardware and virtualization and making it a little bit easier for your IT pro counterparts to get service provisioned almost instantaneously. We're up to, I think we're down to about 6 minutes to spin up a Windows VM sitting in the cloud. So that's pretty great. That's a lot easier than getting a whole bunch of hardware provisioned, bringing it into your infrastructure, trying to set up the OS and everything. We're providing a lot of that for you today, just simply clicking a couple of buttons in the portal or using PowerShell commandlets. And it's basically going to be offering your counterparts a little bit less of a stressful day, and hopefully we'll see more people in the IT industry keeping a little bit more of their hair. To move a little bit further, we've introduced cloud services a long time ago, which basically takes away the operating system, and you just need to focus on the virtual network, some of the firewall rules, and then your application. So this made it really simple for you to just go out, provision servers as a developer, and get a couple things up and running, and then you have your application, and you're ready to go. The only problem with this is developers don't like doing the IT pro jobs. IT pros don't like developers doing their jobs. So you notice that a lot of people were having still just a little bit of a hard time getting into the cloud services kind of mindset. So to make it a little bit easier as a developer, maybe getting a prototype up and running, starting out a brand new website, bringing up a startup, we've introduced Windows Azure Websites, which basically takes away all of the firewall rules, needing to provision servers, needing to do a lot of the management or DevOps, or what your IT pros are doing in, on-premise today, and basically introduces something that you can literally just set up a website, hit deploy, and you have something up and running. How many people are excited about this? Thank you. I see you all got some coffee during the break. That's good. So to kind of break down Windows Azure websites, basically we're looking to make it very simple for you to get started. As we're rolling out the preview, we've made 10 free websites available to you, absolutely free of charge for you to try out, you know, get an understanding of how websites might work for you, and get started. We've also tried to make it friction-free by providing TFS integration, FTP, web deploy, as well as Git integration to get your websites up and running. And that's one of the things that we're trying to introduce a little bit more of an open environment, introducing other version control systems, providing tools for Mac, as well as Linux, with obviously the Windows counterpart that's going to help everyone get up and running much quicker. Coding smart, you're going to notice a couple of demos that I do in a few minutes that's going to actually deploy classic ASP in Windows Azure websites. How many people are still running classic ASP today? Just a few hands. That's, wow. This is actually the smallest group of people I've ever seen that don't have classic ASP sitting in their infrastructure today. We're also going to look at a little bit of ASP.NET deployment, and we'll get into some features of some PHP frameworks that are sitting out there that are very quick and easy to install. And then going live. Basically, we wanted to make sure that you don't have to wait around for your website to go live. It is relatively instantaneous. As soon as you hit that deploy button, your website should be up and available. So with that, let's go into our first demo. Just a quick hello world. And basically, just to show the folks with the classic ASP sitting in their infrastructure, we'll bring up Notepad. Ah, Notepad, everyone's favorite tool. So we just have a quick response.write, grab some HTML. I'm just going to copy and paste this just to make it quicker. I don't really type all the too fast. Oops. There we go. That looks like a basic website, right? Just fill out the rest of the details here, and we'll be up and running in seconds. So what do we want to have as the text for this website? Someone's going to yell something out. I know it. I don't want to pimp myself out again. Can someone please give me something to put in this H1? ASP rocks. With a Z. How does that sound? So we're pushing this out on the desktop. Default.asp. There we go. So I already have everything basically up and running on my code point of view. Let's just jump over to the portal here and figure out how we can actually create a website. So James went through a lot of this earlier. We've created a very simple, everything should be relatively done within three clicks. So we're going to create a website. We're going to quick create. We're going to say ASP demo. And let's hope it's not taken. Wow, that's surprising. Thanks for not stealing it on me. And basically, this is just going to go out and provision a site for us. And when this actually spins up, look at that, it's up and running already. We'll go in and we'll take a look at the quick glance at the side here. And what this actually provides us, right in this corner over here, is the ability to look at our connection strings, set up TFS publishing, set up Git publishing for those people that are using Git, download a publishing profile, and reset deployment credentials, which if you've never created a website before, this will say create deployment credentials. So this is the deployment credential part is actually how we connect to our website using FTP. And you'll notice a little bit further down here that we have some FTP host name information. So we're going to copy this URL. We're going to use this deployment user. And I'm going to use my super secret deployment password to actually get into my Windows Azure website. So let's just copy this quickly. Using FileZilla, which is just a very simple and free FTP tool. Push in my username and then my password. Note to self, use an easier password next time. So there's my default ASPX. We're just going to go into the sites, www root, and push this over here. So that's already uploaded. It's pretty quick. Let's go back to our websites in the portal, click on the site URL, and there's some slightly adjusted code. Let me just edit this quickly. Yep. Surprisingly, I've actually written ASP.NET code before this demo. There we go. Oop. All right. Let's just quickly stop and restart this website just to make sure. That's our stopped state. Default.asp. Oh no. I guess we're just going to have to carry on. Everyone saw that there was a little bit of classic ASP up there, right? Let's try it one last time. That's unfortunate. So let's just click out to some slides quickly here. Oh. Sorry, let's pull this up. I do actually have another ASP sample, so let's maybe switch to that. Source. Patch out. Product cart. There we go. So this is an old demo that we actually used to run. It's a shopping cart that basically uses ASP.NET, or sorry, classic ASP. So we'll just replace this quickly. Just to be sure, let's actually just go create a brand new website because it is so quick to do. Before we do that, quick create, Azure Store. We're going to need to replace that host name. Quickly. Establish a new connection. Get back into our site listing, www root. Why do I have an ASP.NET in there? Upload. And with any luck, come on. Azure sites. Copy. Establish. All right, I guess we're just going to move on to our next demo. Come on, 8. Not used to these different slide tools. There we go. Sorry about that. So just to quickly look at diagnostic and scaling, which is going to be rather hard to do that we failed that demo. But basically, what you'll notice at the top of the screen here is we have the ability to monitor. And the cool thing about this is, although we've provided some by default, we actually have the ability to add additional monitoring tools to your Windows Azure websites. So essentially, what you can do is go into the bottom here, and you can click on Add Metrics. And essentially what you can do is you can look at things like HTTP success, HTTP redirects, and a couple of different errors. So we can see how many people are... Thank you very much. Sorry about that. There we go. Now you can see everything, right? So what I've done here is I've actually gone and I checked off HTTP 403 errors. We can look at HTTP 404 just in case people are trying to look around our website and find pages that aren't there. Maybe if you're running a default WordPress install or something like that, and you've moved the directory for the admin, if people are still looking for that administration page, you know people are targeting your website to try and hack it. So we can just add a couple of different metrics counters here. And basically what happens is we get added down to the list here. So you see I've added the HTTP 403, HTTP 404, and HTTP successes to the bottom of the list. So this will allow us to kind of take a look and see there's already a number of people finding 404s. That's me trying to refresh the page and get the demo up and running. And basically that provides us a lot of different monitoring features. Which James showed earlier is you actually have the ability to configure different frameworks. So we have PHP enabled by default. But down here a little bit further, as you can see, there's additional diagnostic tools, which basically allows you to turn on the web server logging, detailed error messages, and failed request tracing. So this enables all those features that are sitting within IIS. And then basically when you log into the FTP, you'll see a logs folder, and you'll have all of the log information just kind of sitting out there in a folder. You just download that file, and you can take a look or use the tools that you use today to take a look at those IIS log files and basically figure out what's going on with your application. How many people have gone out and deployed an application and forgot to change a web.config setting? Or completely blew away their web.config file? A couple of us have probably done that. So what you have here is the ability to add global app settings to your website. So if you forget that one setting, or if you want to go and change it on the fly, you can basically come into this management portal, type in the new key and value pair, and basically that web app setting will be sitting in your site for your website to be able to consume. And then obviously, if you're dealing with docs that might not be of the type that we've used in, or that we have set up by default, you have the ability to add more default documents, so you can go in and deploy out different applications on Windows Azure websites. Although today we only have ASP.NET, classic ASP, PHP, and Node.js support, but we're looking to add more of that later. With that, we'll go back to some presentations or slides again. And that basically gives you a nice overall look of what we have sitting within the websites to be able to monitor your applications. Hopefully I'll get this presentation thing down soon. There we go. So in addition to this, we basically have the ability to go out and scale out our websites. And this is something that James showed us previously, but what I want to kind of reinforce here is the fact that when you are sitting in a shared environment, we basically have a whole big cluster of servers spun up that are hot and ready to go just waiting for your website. So this is really neat because basically allows us to provide the really quick and easy quick deployment and quick scaling of your applications. So essentially we can just go right to one. We basically do an X copy to another instance that's up and running, and basically you now have two instances, and then we just point the load balancer to connect to both of those. When you move that over to reserved, basically it goes from our nice friendly cluster out to your own cloud service that's now using the Windows Azure website's backend, and we just basically X copy over to that reserved instance itself. So that means you now have a nice big happy space for your users to connect to, and you can scale these up as you need. And basically this just provides, you know, an additional level of support for larger websites. Because you basically, once you switch over to reserved, you have the ability to provision small, medium, and large instances and allow your website to kind of take up the space that it needs on the VMs. Just going to take a quick drink. There we go. So with that, let's just switch over to the Mac briefly. And we'll take a look at some of the tools support that we have. How many people actually run a Mac as their default machine? We got a couple, not too many. So basically, James showed us this earlier, but we have some really good support for websites, so I just want to kind of highlight some of the additional tooling that's there that James didn't really highlight. Big fan of ASCII art, if you ask me, but we'll keep that near the bottom. So basically, we can go in, we can do Azure Site. And if we think about, you know, what sites we have available today, obviously I've created some, we want to kind of figure that out on the fly. So we do have Azure Site List, and that just goes and lists things out. But the one piece that James didn't show was we now have quick and easy access to go off to the portal if we need to make changes from here, or we can go in and browse our site. So we can actually do Azure Site Browse, and we can provide in our ASP demo. And basically, that will go out and actually, oops. Let's just make sure I've logged in here properly. Yep. So actually, let's show you one other piece of information that you need, which will help us with this. If you do Azure account download, basically what it'll do is it'll send you off to our portal and give you that publish settings file. And basically what that publish setting file has is a number of different configuration settings that kind of tells you what your application has available to it. So let's just quickly switch over to here. We'll do an Azure account import. We need to go to downloads. Spell downloads right. Just quickly go back over to here to Finder and pull up our downloaded file. Copy. Let's just paste this in here. So basically, that's gone out and it's gone to my actual account and started to make these things available to me. So now I should be able to go to Azure Site Browse, type in ASP demo, and that will take me off to the website. Ta-da! And there's our ASP.NET store, which is running classic ASP. So it's a good job we came back to this demo so we actually showed the support for classic ASP.NET. And just to make sure that everyone knows, we'll just go to default.asp. Ta-da! So one quick little piece of information on top of that. I talked about logs. So we have Azure Site Log. And basically, this gives us the ability to download our files. So we just do Azure Site Log download. And we only have ASP demo set up in here, but we can always provide as a parameter just to make sure that it comes down. And there's going and downloading our logs. I guess we don't actually have any set up. So one last piece of information that I'll show is a piece of information that if you actually need to move over to a different location, we can do Azure Site Location List. And basically, this will show us all the data centers that we have access to Windows Azure websites. So as you can see here, we basically have East US available to date. Hopefully, this will start to expand in the future and give us the ability to go and get our websites out there in the wild. So let's just quickly go back to my other demo machine, just in case you wanted to run this on Windows. How many people would be excited to run this kind of stuff on Windows? A few? So all I've done here is I've installed Node. So basically, just to show that I have Node support installed, program files. Spend too much time in Linux lately. See. Program files x86. Node. So we have Node installed there. So basically what I can do, Control C, there we go, is I can run an npm clear npm install azure-g. And basically this will go out and it will download those node tooling that's required in order for us to use this on Windows. So now the reason I'm doing this is because to date, Windows Azure websites only has the support within the node tooling. However, we do still have the PowerShell commandlets. So if you're familiar with PowerShell, how many people are familiar with PowerShell? Just a few? It's a really powerful tool. So we do have the ability to use PowerShell, and I'm just going to list my Azure subscriptions here. So you can see, basically, in the background, I've gone and iterated over all the different subscriptions that I have set up within my account. Let's just jump back to the node tools, and you see that we've actually have them all installed now. We can just clear, do node Azure. These have actually set up in the past. I have no idea what's going on now. Let's just clear that out. We'll just jump back to some slides. But you will be able to actually download those tools, use them, and we will bring Parity back up into the PowerShell tooling. Right now, we have support for VMs and basically cloud services within our PowerShell tools. So just to go into Web Matrix and a little bit of WordPress, let's jump back in to our Windows Azure websites. And basically, we have a really nice gallery experience here. So we can go into New, Website, from Gallery. And basically, this is a nice little area where we can open up or use a preset, pre-configured open source CMSs and leverage them in our environment. How many people actually write a blog? Any bloggers in the room? That's great. I think every technical person really should have a blog, because I find myself going out and searching things on Windows Azure that I've done well in the past, and obviously I come up as the first search result, and I've completely forgotten how to do it. So it's always good, you know, you can provide that content out there, you're always going to come back to it, but you also do one more thing, is you help out the person that's sitting next to you, because they'll be able to go to your blog, read what you've done, and now understand how to use that little component that, you know, you've only done in the past and not everyone else. So basically, I always run WordPress. Just simply, it's really, you know, quick and easy blog to go out and set up. Basically, I have now, because James stole my name, we'll go to Corey Fowler Azure, and we'll create a new MySQL database and just hit next. Create that in the East region. One thing that we do need to do is we have a partner that provides MySQL for us, so we need to check off this agreement to their licensing terms. And basically, we're going to spin this up. So now, while this provisions, you know, we've gone out, we've created a WordPress blog, very quick and easy, and it's taken about, 15 seconds so far. It'll probably take another minute or so. But that's a lot easier than going out to WordPress.org, downloading the zip file, and getting this up and running. And you can basically do this with the majority of the open source blogging platforms today. How many people actually create websites on a regular basis and could use something like .NET Nuke in their environment today and just save them some of the stress of setting this stuff up? No one? That's all right. Can't win them all. So basically, you see now that I'm in my website. And what am I going to do to go out and modify this? Basically, I can go to the bottom here and click a Web Matrix button. And what this is going to do is it's going to open up Web Matrix on my machine if I have it installed. If not, it will go out and download Web Matrix. Now, it might take a little bit of time to do this on our internet connection here, but I guarantee that it's going to run much quicker within your own infrastructure. But basically, it will go out, it copies all the files locally. We can then go make some changes to our website, maybe make a little bit more interesting, have a nicer look and feel. And then we'll be able to just quickly deploy this right back up to Windows Azure. So I don't actually have MySQL installed, so it's going to try and install that for me. And then that's the end user license agreement. And as you can see, it provides a nice, easy, and flexible environment for you just to go out and do things. The cool thing about WebMatrix is you'll actually be able to open up your sites if you're using things like WordPress or Drupal. You actually have code completion for those frameworks sitting within WebMatrix. So it's a really neat kind of tool to make sure that you have support for the things that you're working with. Basically, I actually use this if I need to make a really quick change and I don't want to wait for Visual Studio to start up. I'll actually use my ASP.NET MVC apps, open up WebMatrix, open up the file, just modify it quickly, and then deploy it. That's going to take a long time. All right, let's see if we can get a little bit something going else out there. So I have another application sitting in here. Basically, it's the it's an ASP.NET site. It's a pet shop. And we've created this demo way back when .NET first came out, and it was trying to compete with Java. So we basically decided, well, let's see if it runs in Windows Azure websites. So let's just go out and create one more website. This one we're actually going to create with a database. So we'll say pet shop. Use a new SQL database. It's going to go out and it's going to provision a very simple web with 1 gigabyte of storage. And we'll use a new database server because I don't have one created. So create a quick login name. So the thing about this is you can't just use admin or SA. You actually have to provide an actual username. So we'll use my Twitter alias. And we'll just make sure we have a strong enough password. The password actually needs to have at least one uppercase character and one number. At the bottom here, you'll notice there's a allow Windows Azure services to access the server. So by default, this is checked. And that will allow us to go out and use cloud services, VMs, or our Windows Azure website to connect to this. We could alternatively just shut this down, and nothing within Azure would be able to access the SQL Server. And then we can go in and register firewall endpoints and open those up. So if we had like an on-premise application that we wanted to have a SQL database sitting in the cloud, we can basically expose it only to the IP range that we want within our infrastructure. And then we can use that database to store our data. I'm going to enable it, obviously, because I want this to run within Windows Azure. See, my WebMatrix is going. It's going out and installing PHP 5.3, if anyone's interested in what WebMatrix is up to. But essentially, what we're going to end up doing is clicking on our website and going to publish here. And we actually need to provide an web deploy profile like we used earlier to bootstrap our node tools on the Mac. So we'll just go out here to the website. There's our pet shop. Do this from the browser. Download publishing profile. Right, we'll save that out to the desktop here. Here, grab our file from the desktop. It's going to automatically fill out the form and basically provide us, you know, a nice, easy way to connect to our site. One last thing is we're going to want to enable a database. So we can go and do this, and we'll just open this up. We'll head back to the portal to get our database credentials. So what's gone out is created a new SQL Server database. We're going to click on servers and then click into the server, and this will get us our management URL. Don't want the management URL. We want this. paste. Done. Oops. Don't click the drop-down box. Okay. So we're going to click on that. Dot. Windows.database.net. And then we're going to provide the credentials. Test our connection there. See how WebMatrix is doing? Hey, we actually have our site up and running. So as you can see here in WebMatrix, sorry for jumping back and forth between demos, but some of these things take a little bit of time. As you'll notice, a number of the folders here and a number of the different files are actually locked out. So what the WebMatrix team has done is they've gone out and asked these open source communities, hey, what files don't you want us to touch? And we'll make sure that our users don't go ahead and modify those files. So how many people actually run like a modified core of like a CMS that they use? You know, hopefully you'd be able to, there we go, we have one person over there. Hopefully you'll be able to provide this information and maybe lock out some new people that you're onboarding from some of the files they're using as you're getting them used to the CMS that they're that you set up in-house. Or it's just an easy way to make sure that you don't actually have some files, like you're up 4 o'clock in the morning, you forgot to drink that last cup of coffee that you needed to push through the night. And basically, this is going to protect you from modifying a lot of those files. So we can just jump into content here, look at themes, 2011, and there should be a nice CSS screen for us, style.css. We'll just go in and change the easiest thing possible. Color. Surprisingly enough, the easiest thing possible isn't color. Right, where are we here? Let's just change something. Anything? There we go. Background color, we'll just make this black. Save. And then we can just deploy it to Azure. So we just go into remote, hit publish. Because Azure went and downloaded all our credentials when it brought us into WebMatrix, it's remembering all those, and now it knows to go out and deploy back to Windows Azure when we make our changes. So you see here, it recognizes what files we've gone in and changed, so you can take a little browse through this, make sure that the file that you changed is actually the files that are going to get updated, and then you can basically just go ahead and click continue. Before I do that, I just want to point out that you can go in and actually modify your MySQL database. So if you have that installed, MySQL installed on your machine, which WebMatrix does for you, it's going to go out to Azure, download your MySQL database, so you can make changes to content sitting within your database and redeploy that along with your website. So we'll just hit continue here. And you see at the bottom here, and it was too quick for me, basically it goes out and starts spinning up and it actually publishes your site, and then we can click off to CoreyFowler-Azure.windows-azure-websites.com. Forgot that we had to set this up. But basically, we can go in, download, go to WebMatrix, get our site changes in there, and provide it back up to our Windows Azure instance. Oops. Okay, so that brings up a good point. Testing the connection back to our other demo. Basically, like I said before, you can connect to Windows Azure, but you can't connect from your local on-prem. So basically, we can go into databases here. We're going to need to set up our firewall settings to ensure that our database server can actually accept requests from where we are right now. So we, right there, I went into servers. We're going to click on configure. And basically, there's this nice little dialog box that even provides the IP address for here. And we can just push that in. We're at 1 King West. Click OK on that. And then down at the bottom here, we can click Save, and that's going to go ahead and make the change. So now when I go back into Visual Studio and test my connection, I should be able to just go out, and this will connect, and everything will be good, and we'll be able to deploy out our application. It's taking a little bit longer than I want. I think I switched these around, so we have database.windows.net. There we go. All right, and now that we have our database set up, we can just hit publish, and our pet shop application will go up to Windows Azure. So let's quickly switch back to some slides while that deploys. I don't even have the time to switch back to slides while that deploys. That's pretty quick. But now you can see here that we have our pet shop demo up and running. We can click on dogs. Oops. I don't think it actually deployed the database in the back end. It's right here. We'll just switch back over to the slides. There we go. So basically what I've shown you today is we have the ability for you to go out and build your classic ASP pages, your .NET applications. You can run PHP. And James showed you earlier that you can run Node.js within Windows Azure websites. And we hope to see more coming soon. Just thinking about a couple of the supported publishing methods, I showed off FTP. We showed off web deploy with our last application going through the steps of downloading the publishing file. James showed off Git this morning. One thing I wanted to bring to your attention was TFS. And one of the announcements made at TechEd was that the Team Foundation service, which is TFS running in the cloud, is now open for greater consumption. So it's still sitting in preview, but now everyone has the ability to go out and use TFS as a service sitting in the cloud. The cool thing about this is, basically, you sign up for an account. You can set up your TFS integration directly into Visual Studio, as always. But what you can also do is, when you connect it up to Windows Azure, you now have a nice way to provide a build engine. You can run unit tests. And all of that great stuff that TFS has provided in the past now is a gateway sitting in front of your deployment to Windows Azure. So now you have the ability to think a little bit more about continuous integration, go out and offer a better deployment experience for yourselves using TFS in the cloud. We also have a number of partners that are helping us out provide all these great features. Obviously, we have the open source content management system folks. We have a number of people like AppDynamics that are helping with on-demand scale. We also have ClearDB, which is allowing us to provide MySQL sitting in Windows Azure. And SendGrid, which is an email provider that hooks up to Windows Azure, is providing 1,000 email messages from their servers for Windows Azure subscribers today. One that's not mentioned on there, and I have their logo up front here, is Twilio. So if you want to provide SMS messaging from your Windows Azure applications, Twilio provides a great way to send out SMS messages So maybe if your website goes down, you can build in the functionality to notify you, things like that. So just to kind of recap and review what's going on within the Windows Azure websites world, we want to make it really easy for you to get up and going. And this is, you know, something that is really important, especially for websites, is just to give you the tools that you need and leverage the existing skill sets that you have in order to deploy applications out provide websites at a nice, really quick speed of a very quick iteration cycle. We also want you to code smart. We want you to leverage all of the applications that you have running today. We want to make sure that you can leverage Windows Azure websites to kind of push out things that you might not want to upgrade the service for in-house. And this will provide a nice, simple way for you to do so. And going live is basically, once you get through the steps of creating your website, it's a really quick, easy way to go live. There is the ability to go, and if you deploy using Web Deploy or Git or TFS, you can actually step back to a previous deployment. So if you were to accidentally hit the trigger to deploy something, if you notice there's something wrong with it, you can step back and take that deployment offline to a previous version that provides a better experience for your users. So as I mentioned before, we have 10 free websites during preview. You can go out and you can try that today. My suggestion would be, when we go through the hackathon time, try out Windows Azure websites, see what you can get up and running really quickly and easily, and figure out how it can work within your infrastructure. Or even just for you, start up a blog, do something fun and exciting. They're really easy to manage. Basically just pushing out a deployment from any of the deployment methods that I mentioned earlier can get you up and running. You can do automatic load balancing. They do have the ability to scale up and down, so that's a really interesting feature. That's something that, you know, the majority of people wouldn't think about for a blog, but if you think about maybe the prototype apps that turn into the production apps that we've all managed before, this is something that Windows Azure Websites basically provides you the ability to leverage the hardware that we have running for the workloads that you have ready to go. Coding smart, we talked about the support for all the languages. Just to reinforce the fact that there's SQL Azure running in the background, you have MySQL, so if you have some workloads that are running on that, you have the ability to use it. Visual Studio integration and Web Matrix, if you need a quick, simple tool to bring your sites up and running quickly. And we now have support for all operating systems, so Windows, Mac, and Linux. And then going live, like I mentioned, the quick iteration cycle, deploying from something that works for you, providing a nice front end for the continuous integration using TFS preview. And then you do also have built-in monitoring through that management console or the monitor console that I showed you, and the ability to add those performance counters. You also have access to the logs, basically pushed out into an FTP folder called logs that you can download and look at with the tools that you run today. And with that, I'd like to thank you for going through the Windows Azure websites with me. We'll bring Jonathan back up on stage because he's always on his way. Howdy.
Well, we have to give you some sort of break.
Yeah.
Right? Relax, take it easy. So how was that? What do we think? Good stuff? Lots of different options, lots of different deployment options, lots of different database options. And I think what you're going to see as we go throughout the day, you're going to just see tons of different options of how you can deploy your solutions, which ultimately, I think, hopefully by the time you guys leave here today and for you guys online, you're going to walk away with basically thinking, hey, you know what? The platform has grown up. It's matured. It's basically, I mean, from what we've seen here, it's not even the same as it was, I don't know what, it's been 3 weeks now, right? How many of you guys have seen the June 7th keynote with Scott Guthrie online? For those of you guys online, do a plus one if you've seen it. Okay, so good. So a lot of this stuff is brand new for most of you, which is great. Okay, so we're going to take a little break, let Corey switch up into virtual machine mode. Now, this is one that is interesting feature-wise, if you think about it, because as much as websites blur the lines. This one now for sure blurs the lines between developer, IT pro. But I don't mean blur the lines in a negative way. It's actually, I think, at least quite positive in that now we can actually work hand in hand much better than we ever did before. Plus, virtual machines was one of those features that you guys kind of kept coming back and saying, hey, when you guys launched PaaS, Platform as a Service, something was missing. So hopefully what we'll see in the next session is that whatever that something missing was, is missing no longer.